Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down? They ain't believing me in the beginning. Don't wanna hang around, now they see me winning. I'm home cold, you're standing trial. Why ain't I see you round back when I was down?
Yo, it's your boy Big Court from the Holding Court Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by the ice cream man himself, Master P, Master Crunch Cereal. This is the Honey Nut Toasted Oats, available in all grocery stores. So go to your local grocery store and pick this up. And this is a cool collectible box, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, this is pretty dope. Master Crunch Cereal, go pick yours up. Salute. What's up, world? It's your boy, Big Court. We're here on the Holding Court Podcast. You already know what it is. And today we got a special guest, and y'all already know what it is, man. You know, we got the King Hustler, King of the South, King of Product, you know what I mean? The ice cream man himself, my big brother, y'all already know what it is, Master P.
What's up, homie?
What's going on with you, bro?
Oh, man, I can't complain, you know, it's a blessing to be alive.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's what everybody need to realize, why you sitting around worrying about what you don't have. Just appreciate through this pandemic that you're still here. Mm-hmm. We lost a lot of real soldiers. Mm-hmm. And it's a blessing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Well, man, you know, I'm sure with the people watching and all my followers, your followers, this was probably expected. You know?
Yeah.
So of course,
yeah.
I done had everybody come through here. I had to have my right-hand man come through.
Yeah, I mean, it's love, man. I'm proud of you.
Appreciate it.
What you're doing, and people don't realize you got to diversify your portfolio and everything that you do. So when people look at us, they see us from the streets, and they don't realize that we can change our life and we can do something else. And, you know, you're doing this podcast showing people that, you know, not only coming from the streets, but then coming from, you know, when people look at you, they think, oh, well, this dude just stay in the gym or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do we have any brains to do?
Yeah, right.
You know, but they don't understand that to get to where you at now and to survive and the sustainability that you had to grow and change mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like this is a blessing to see my circle just growing. Because I tell people all the time, I could show you your future by your friends.
Right.
And people don't realize a lot of people, they got the wrong people around them, so they can't even blossom and grow because it's just the mentality. And it just, my grandma used to tell me that a long time ago, you are the people who you hang around.
Mm-hmm.
So you hang around fools, you know, you're going to end up.
Absolutely.
And if you hang around people that's thinking outside the box and growing, you're going to grow and get better,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's just what life is about. And people don't. People, you know, some people always say, well, P, I don't have no friends. Well, you don't have no friends, then you need to put your trust and faith in yourself,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you is getting in your way. Mm-hmm. Nobody else is going to get in your way. You can't blame it on nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So that just the metaphor, show me your friends and I can show you your future. It's not like that could be family members. It could be whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to know who to cut out of your life to be successful, if that's what you want.
Right.
Because most people just hanging on the cones. I tell them all the time, the pigeons is at the ground trying to get bird seeds, the eagles are flying high.
Yeah.
So you got to know what you want to be. You want to be a pigeon or you want to be an eagle?
I like that. Yeah. You know, one thing I always say, bruh, is, you know, life is like mathematics. You know what I'm saying? You want to add to your wisdom.
Yes.
You want to add your money. You want to add years to your life. You know what I'm saying? Then you got to learn how to subtract shit out your life, too.
Yeah.
And then you got to learn how to divide your time between, you know, work and your loved ones. So it's all numbers. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, it's all about doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And growing. I tell people all the time, nobody's perfect. But if you got a good heart and you're about doing the right thing, you know, God will bless you. People don't realize, even though we come from the streets, I put God before anything. And I know, even you look at all the product I have right now, I wasn't thinking that way 10 years ago, 20 years ago, but I was always thinking I need to do something to better myself. And I realized product don't talk back. And I realized I don't have to worry about what I did 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. I got to keep evolving. I got to keep getting better. I got to keep, you know, outthinking the system, outthinking the haters. I tell people all the time, man, the haters motivate me, Court. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you hate me, it's like, P, how you keep going, how you keep reinventing yourself?
Yeah.
It's the haters.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I just had a shirt on the other day. God bless everybody that's hating on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bless them.
Yeah.
For real, bless them. You know, and, man, this is temporary success.
Mm-hmm.
We can't take this with us. Like I said, we got to celebrate the ones we love while we're here. Your family, you know, your friends, the people that you really love, you have to celebrate them because we don't do that as a culture.
Right.
We just initially hate on each other. Like, I don't, you know, I've never been that type of person. I seen Dr. Dre be successful. I seen 50 Cent be successful. I paid for 50 Cent first concert series, but I'm happy for him, what he was able to do, get the vitamin water deal, Jay-Z, get the deal with Roc Nation, the deals he was able to do, Puffy. And then I figured out how to go take over the grocery stores. I say, I'm going to take over the grocery stores. That's going to be my lane.
Mm-hmm.
And people, it might have started with the music and entertainment, but I realize now it's all about product with me, because with product, we are building economic empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what my life is about, making sure that we, not only me at the forefront, just like what you're doing, I want to see thousands of us.
Mm-hmm.
At the forefront,
right,
where I can educate my people and say, look, let me give you that game. Take it and run with it.
Right, right. And you know what? That's the thing. That's the important part of it, too, bro. I didn't even want to go through the rigmarole of what you, everybody know the story.
Yeah.
I want to start with now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What, you know what I'm saying? What inspired you to make that transition from music and say, you know what? I'm going to get off into this product and this grocery store.
Well, let me tell you what made me make that transition. Failure. I feel that so many things. And so never be afraid to feel those failures is going to motivate you to get to where you need to go. I always fall with my hands down, pick myself back up and start running. So I'm not afraid to say I took a loss on this. I took a loss on that. But then I educated myself. So it wasn't a loss. It was a lesson. So every time I feel, I got better at something, even with the product. You know, one time people talked about the tennis shoes. Mm-hmm. I said, you know what? That motivated me to get better. I got to get more quality. Got to get better designers. I did all that. So I tell people all the time, trust the process. So your failure is what's going to get you to where you need to be at. So you might think that you're done or it's not happening. No, those failures are going to prepare you for that success. And I think, you know, going through the things I went through in the early stages of my success and having to start over.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid to get back on the horse. People lost millions, you know, they end up being billionaires because of what they learned on that road. They didn't give up when most people say it's over. I got to stop. I'm done.
Right, right.
There's no limit over here. And I don't pray for money. I pray for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about knowledge and wisdom. Every time I'm educating myself,
mm-hmm.
why other people will be giving up, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, I got into the product side of it. And I said, okay, I already used my celebrity status to be this. Mm-hmm. I've already done paid the way on that end on something else. And now I'm saying, you know what? What's the difference? Why these other cultures and races have so much sustainability?
Mm-hmm.
They plant seeds through product and pass it down from generation to generation.
Mm-hmm.
You had Famous Amos. He had a cookie company. He's from L.A. He built this big brand. and he made a couple million dollars off it. He ended up selling that company. And then the guys who brought it from him ended up selling it to Nabisco for $2.6 billion just wow. for one cookie company.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, well, this guy did that, but he didn't do the business part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if we have the business part taken care of and we create more than just one product. So I said, I don't feel like no entertainer or rapper or whatever has more product than me.
I can't think of one.
I can't think of one. You know what I'm saying? So think about that. Imagine that. That means the more product I have, the more people I can put on, mm-hmm. the more people I can employ, mm-hmm. the more people I can give opportunity to,
mm-hmm.
and the more people I can help chase their dreams and their goals.
Right, right.
And so it's not just about me. And if I put God first, then, I mean, look what I've done the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have the mindset and not being afraid to say that you don't know everything.
Right.
Get experts. I put a team of experts around me at the same time to build this when I'm building.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Not this brand.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it started from for me, like feeling, not being afraid to say that I messed up, made mistakes. And get back up and keep running. I mean, life is not a race, it's a marathon.
Right. What dictates, like, I mean, you as a business person, and I know that you've had multiple businesses.
Yes.
Like what dictates what type of businesses you're going to get involved in? Is it like do you just see a win, or is it something you're passionate about?
Nah, it gotta be love and passion for me.
Okay.
Like I was able to build these brands because, look, I've been eating noodles all my life. So I'm like, why none of us ever owned a noodle company?
Right.
Pancakes, cereal. I've been eating it all my life. Ice cream.
Mm-hmm.
I wear other people's clothes. I'm like, why not make my own? Mayada stand for motivating oneself, encourage you actively to think independently. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these companies built these brands out of their garage.
Mm-hmm.
Why we can't do it.
Right, right.
And why do we self-hate on each other and don't give us an
That's
opportunity?
That's what I was about to go to.
To go through that process and get better.
Yeah.
So we didn't like Nike at first back in the day.
Right.
We was wearing Adidas and Converse.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when Jordan got behind that brand,
we
all jumped on it to be like, oh, now we like Nike.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, we start liking all these other brands, even Under Armour now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody really liked that until you know Steph Curry was behind it. So mm-hmm. I just think that to be able to have your own brands and being able to, because you look at right now, we are marching for injustice
mm-hmm.
right now. I'm changing the game because I'm saying, why get out there and march for injustice when it should be about economic empowerment?
Yeah, economic empowerment, exactly.
You know, and so I got into the cannabis business, but it's through medical, marijuana, and recreation. Now, the difference is what I have, I got a company called Unlimited.
Mm-hmm.
And what Unlimited is about, helping veterans be able to be entrepreneurs mm-hmm. in the cannabis game. And also, I started a new holiday. So y'all know it started with the ice cream shop. So I got my own ice cream shop now, but it's cannabis.
Okay.
It's exotic ice cream.
Yeah.
And
is that a local spot out here?
It's a local spot in Studio City. And we celebrating 520. I know y'all have 420, but we have 520. Let me tell you the difference about 520. On 520, we smoking nothing but exotic with the millennials. And let me tell you what it's about. It's called 520 Freedom Day,
mm-hmm.
Cannabis Freedom Day, 520.
Mm-hmm.
And what it is, a guy named Fake Vincent Winslow. You can look this up. He's serving a life sentence in Louisiana. for two $20 packs of marijuana.
Wow.
And he served, he'd been in there since 08.
Damn.
And our thing is to help free him, bring attention to that. So that's why we call it Cannabis Freedom Day.
Okay.
And we got the whole world where it's legal jumping aboard.
Yeah.
And you're going to see us bringing awareness to that.
Yeah.
And so, and on that day on 520, at 520 in the evening on 520, we smoking purple.
Yeah.
Celebrating this man's freedom and why he should be, and not just him, but other people that's incarcerated when this has been legalized in over 60% of America.
Yeah, that's crazy because I had a guest, my homeboy Bosco from Compton.
Yeah.
They doing a movie on him right now, but he just came home on a 30 years for getting caught with 1,400 pounds of weed in like the early 2000s. But they let him out last July on a compassionate release because he told the judge that marijuana is being traded on the stock market.
Yes.
Why am I doing a life sentence?
Well, guess what? When Louisiana and these other states catch up, then These crimes should be misdemeanors, especially the guy that only had two $20 bags on him.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I feel like we have to bring awareness to that, and we able to celebrate that. Also, 520, people don't know that's Busta Rhymes' birthday, so I'm like, you know what, Busta Rhymes, come on, blow some exotic with us on 520.
Yeah. Okay.
You know? And we can invite anybody from your show, you know, 520.
Yeah.
Come, right. we celebrate and we starting at the ice cream shop first because of COVID. Then next year, we're turning this to a full festival.
Okay.
And so you're going to be having festivals everywhere where it's legal, celebrating 520. Because, you know, 520s is more than 420s.
Yeah, yeah. Real talk.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But this legalized. This for real. This the real game I'm giving y'all now.
Yeah,
And when you talk about 520s, I mean, you want 520s or 420s,
yeah,
Big Court?
Yeah, no, right. Hey, I'm going to take the five.
Okay, well, take the five. And then, and if you look at it, it's just another holiday.
Yeah.
Well, they smoking regular on 420. We smoking exotic on 520. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to go by Snoop and see what he could do with this exotic on 520 on his holiday to free a lot of our brothers and sisters that shouldn't be on life sentences. Should be on, that should have been a misdemeanor. This guy should have been wrote a ticket. And if that was in California, it would wrote him a ticket and told him, go on about your business.
If even that. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, you do still have people in California doing time for weed.
Yeah, and that's what we're gonna bring attention to that.
Yeah.
You know, even here in California, even they lit out 60,000 people that has been lit out.
Yeah.
You know, since it been legalized here. But it's still some still in there that makes no sense.
Yeah. You know, I want to lean into something that you said just a little while ago, too, when you was talking about the hate that comes with us in general. Yes. Man, why do you think that we deal with each other so heavy handedly and everything, you know, well, because, on the streets and, you know, with everything?
Yeah. Well, you know, so you had the millennials and you have Generation Z. Generation Z don't care about nothing. You know, the millennials, they like, whatever, if I ain't got it, you shouldn't have it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that we've been programmed like that. Other cultures have been programmed to pass down money from generation to generation.
Right.
We are uneducated. Think about it. We're a culture that's uneducated, and we angry and mad.
Yeah.
We angry and mad because we don't have nothing, but we don't realize we all have 24 hours.
Right.
So whatever you do with your 24 hours is going to dictate your future. So you have to stop hating on. Why you hating? Somebody else coming up with ideas. Like I tell people, you could be mad at me for what I did 20 years ago. I'm not making money off of what I did 20 years ago. I'm getting better. I'm figuring out other things. So I don't have time to hate on nobody.
Right.
And I just think the people that are unsuccessful, they got too much time on their hand because they don't even understand. Because this is what people tell me all the time. Well, P, you could say that because you're already successful. You got all this. But where do you think I came from? Right. You was around me when I had nothing. Yeah. I was trying to make it, but I kept chasing my dream and my goals. And it's like an athlete. I tell my kids this. I got my kids, Hurst and Mercy, they're one of the top, two of the top basketball players in high school in the country. But I tell them, you're not going to be successful if you don't put the work in.
Yeah.
You don't work, you don't eat. So people want to be successful, but they don't want to put the work in.
Right.
They want to complain, be angry and mad and upset.
And entitled.
Gonna get you? And entitled. So if you have something you deserve, you're supposed to give them what you have.
Yeah.
And when they get something, nobody going to give you anything.
Right.
You
right.
know what I'm saying? So you got to look at life like that and say, we can't focus on the negativity where you got the people that really don't want nothing.
Yeah.
You know, that it's they really going to play themselves out.
Yeah, like you, I mean, like you always taught us, bro. You know what I'm saying? I don't cut players; players cut themselves. But you know one thing, P, that's hard. Like with us, like in No Limit in the beginning, like you always say, like everything you be, you know, you've always led the charge.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if it's a generational thing or just a character thing.
Yeah.
But we believed in something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like you put, you set. Well,
you
forth
had
the plan.
You had a chain of command.
Yeah.
Like, this generation don't have
why
that.
Why they don't believe in nothing? Because everything is immediate. It's, like, it's, they don't have a bigger vision.
There's too many Indians and no chiefs.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. And so we grew up in a chain of command type of brotherhood and familyhood where we was like, if you the boss, you the boss. I'm not trying to do your job.
Right.
Because everybody can't be the boss.
Exactly.
And I think this generation realized when they see this stuff on the internet, on TV, everybody think they could do that. Even what I do, I think a lot of people around me used to be upset with me when I allow people to leave. Like, if you don't want to be here,
right.
I don't want you to be here. Hey, like, that's go do what
that's
you got to do.
I run my shit
and
too.
I never held somebody back. I'm like, go and blossom, go fly, do what you got to do. Mm-hmm. The ones that did the right thing, we're still friends now.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that waste their money and lost and did whatever they had to do, what they wanted to do, I allowed them to go get money from other places. Mm-hmm. But you know, the sad thing about it is, when you look in the hip hop world, we only complain to the few people that we know are bosses.
Mm-hmm.
We don't complain to like these major record companies.
Mm-hmm.
We don't see those that's as being a problem. None of those guys never sit down and ate with the artists, hung out with the artists. So soon as something happened, they go on and do other business. They're not accountable for whatever artist's life end up being.
Right.
But if you like on the forefront, and you actually mingling and being a part of these artists' lives, then you get blamed for...
It's like you're supposed to be responsible for them for the rest of their life.
That's like your kid, right?
Right.
If your kid want to leave home and go do what he got to do, then he grown, she grown. They got to be responsible for themselves.
Absolutely.
But I think this generation of artists, they don't want to be responsible. They want to blame it on, oh, you didn't do this. That's why I'm not. So you got to realize in the music business, a career only lasts 3 to 5 years. That's big careers. So if you last longer than that, so anybody watching this and listening to this, if you're an artist, if you could get some money in that 3 to 5 year time period, you better start investing your money into something else, because you can't blame it on. So imagine the ones that signed to those major labels. They don't blame it on nobody. They just leave and go back to the ghetto, go do whatever they got to do. And that's why I said we need a union for hip hop, because there's no exit strategy. Because our culture only blame whoever they see in the middle of the record companies. Because if you look at even from Jay-Z to Puffy to Dr. Dre or whatever, they still a middleman in those companies.
Yeah, we was talking about that.
So think about it. You never see nobody argue with Jimmy Iovine or none of those other people that's in charge of Arista Records or Sony or none of that stuff. They never mad at them.
Right.
I mean, from the girls to the guys, they are never mad at them. They just go on. I don't care who they are. You could be Mariah Carey or whatever. After that contract is up, you move on. It's just business. You only see it in our culture where people are upset with each other because they're not where they need to be at 10, 20 years ago after they record. So I'm telling you, that music is going to slow down.
Right.
Michael Jackson cooled off.
Yeah.
He only got hot again after he died.
Right.
In which our culture don't understand that they're going to promote you and love you after you gone. Like, they'll buy all this up when I'm not around.
Right.
But while I'm here, they're like, man, I don't really. Yeah. But guess what? Now, all of a sudden, you know, when you look at Nipsey Hussle, people really wasn't going to the store like that. They start going passionately after he was gone. His music started selling passionately.
Right.
Even DMX. DMX music went up 700%.
That's crazy.
And I'm like, it's the same music.
That's crazy, because even with Victory Lap, it didn't even do all of that when it came out. It pretty much.
Man, let me tell you something. I know Nip, right? And he was upset about that. You know, because he had to do a deal with a record company thinking this was the way out. And you know, he's always thought independent, because that's what I taught him. But he came down to the end. He was like, boss, I got to do this deal with Atlantic, and it ain't what I want to do. But he thought that was the way. And guess what? Even when he was alive, it still wasn't the way.
Yeah.
Now it ended up being massive after he passed.
Crazy.
So he didn't even get a chance to see the celebration what how people loved him and cared about him and the love they showed.
Yeah. I mean, humans just, in general, bro. Like, that's why I created this platform, to be honest with you, bro. It was to bring people on.
Yeah.
To give them their flowers now and normalize that shit. You know what I mean? Because, too, like, even with the passing of DMX, you know what I'm saying? What you said was some real shit. Spinning off of that, of it being some type of union.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like...
Well, people don't want to hear the truth. We know that DMX was doing a lot of stuff in his life that he shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, drugs, people don't realize this, the truth hurt. Drugs really killing a lot of our culture.
Yeah.
A lot of the great ones that we done lost, let's be honest, drugs did it. A lot of people that's incarcerated right now.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to the warden of a prison, and I said, "Warden, why are most of these people here?" He said, "Pete, 90% of these people are good people. They're here because of drugs."
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people don't even know the crimes they commit because they was high.
Yeah.
And even getting into the situations that they got into.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of, I went to the prison and sit down with a guy that was doing the radio. I mean, it was the nicest guy you ever want to meet. And I asked the warden, what did he do? He said he killed two people. But he getting his life back together. So it's like this was the nicest guy I ever seen. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? But he was out of his mind. He was high that night. Yeah. He didn't even know he killed the people.
Wow. Wow.
And so that's what I'm saying, that, you know, and then you get a rehabilitation stage in your life to where this guy has been, he's been in jail for over 30-something years.
Damn.
So he's going up on to the board trying to, you know, let him know he changed his life and, you know, but it was all about drugs.
But even when you talk about drugs, though, when you peel those layers back, it's deeper than drugs. Because now we talk about mental health.
Yeah, well, I mean,
because what kind of shit? Because usually when people get into drugs, they're usually self-medicating for something.
Yeah, mental health is a lot of that going on, Big Court. But at the same time, we are self-medicating.
Yeah.
So that's what the drugs for.
Right, right.
So when you're self-medicating, man, but you're still drugs.
Yeah.
So
but you got to go to the root of the problem. So now it's like in our culture.
It. I mean, I think the root of the problem is not being afraid to tell the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So imagine if somebody got a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
Is they going to tell you they got a mental issue? No, they trying to deal with acting like it's, or somebody worried about something.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a lot of our culture are worried. So they thinking, okay, well, whether it's the bills or whatever, they think if they go get high, they going to get rid of the bill. No, you just created another bill.
Another problem.
And now you got a habit.
Yeah.
At the same
Real
time.
Talk.
So I just think, and it's a lot, don't get me wrong, mental issues is real in our culture, in our community.
Yeah. And it's taboo for us to talk about it.
Yeah, no, but people don't want to talk about that. Yeah. They'd rather sugarcoat it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just think that we gotta look at life. We gotta keep praying, man. We are lost as a culture.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when you talk about the millennials and you talk about Generation Z, you know, a lot of this is crack babies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of mothers that are lost, a lot of fathers that are lost, mm-hmm. and then now kids are angry because they don't have no parents.
Yeah,
and so we can't be angry about that. Like, I grew up with my grandparents,
mm-hmm.
and I tell people all the time, be just thankful for what you got, and if you don't have that support system like you think you should have, mm-hmm. what about just being thankful for life?
Yeah.
And you got to break that stereotype,
right,
to where you can change this
right.
for your family and for your culture.
Mm-hmm.
I want to rewind though. I got a question because you said he was there at the beginning when you had nothing.
Yeah,
I've been rocking with this dude for 20 years.
Yeah.
What was the young court like though? I'm talking like what made you go pick him up and get him?
Yeah, the young court was wild, man. He was hanging with wild people.
Yeah,
you know, when I first met him, I told him I really wasn't gonna mess with him. I said, but you got to get rid of the dude that's around you.
Yeah.
So and he understood that.
Mm-hmm.
And when he understood that, I was able to, you know, be around him. Cause me, I'm already trying to get out of something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm already in the mud. I got one foot in the mud. I'm trying to get out.
Yeah.
And then he got 3 feet in the mud, and I'm like, bro, I'm on my way to.
Yeah, you working against.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I try to do all kinds. No, he wasn't as big as he was now. So he was a little slim dude. We played basketball. I'm pushing him around, throwing him on the ground, all kind of stuff.
You manhandling him?
Did I manhandle him? He got on that milk commercial. You know what I'm saying?
Come on, bro.
The thing about it was love. It's like, you know, you're trying to, that tough love, you're trying to show your little homie, like, bro, if you don't change, you're going to be gone. Like, a lot of dudes around us got killed at young ages.
Yep.
Like, our goal was to live to be 19. People don't realize that. That was a goal. At 19, you were OG.
Yep.
You know, and so him being around, he had a lot of ambition in him, a lot of hustle in him. But the thing was, once he seen what was bad for him, because you got to look at the poison too. It ain't just the good. People always say, you know, it's God and it's the devil.
Yeah.
So it's the only two sides you could be on. You won't be on the godly side. You won't be on the devil side. That's it. And so when he started realizing that he wanted to live, I was able to open my own, man, let's go run. Let's go make some moves. And I think that's what life is about. And not being afraid to look at the truth.
Yeah.
Because I could have sugarcoated him like, man, you know, that's good. You thugging and nothing. Yeah. Nah, man, it ain't what, like, bro, we about to go make some money.
Yeah.
We about to go build an empire.
It's been times where I've been on bullshit. You know and I call you.
Yeah,
You know what I'm saying? Talk me down.
Talk him off the ledge.
Yeah,
you know and then some people around in our crew will be, man, go handle it. I'm like, dog, you got a family. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yep. You got to look at the people you hang around.
That's funny because I had the same conversations with him sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We talk about guests for this show. I'm like, hey, yo, just chill. Like, you know what I mean? We're trying to do this.
Yeah. No, but that's what life is about. It's about growing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud of you, dog.
Thank
you, brother.
I appreciate it.
Because this man came a long way. I came a long way. But when you know God and you know that God got a different path for you, you don't have to be the toughest guy in the room.
Right.
Like, he's not trying to be the toughest guy in the room.
Nah.
He could be.
Yeah.
You know, even when people testing, you know what I'm saying? It's like everybody
gonna
get tested. Everybody will get tested in this world, because that's, people always think that since you don't look like the tough guy, the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know what I love about us? We ain't trying to be that. We just stand up when we have to.
Right.
So that's a difference. Like, that's a real man. That's gangster to me, because you ain't got to run around acting like you're the tough.
Yeah.
Do you?
What's up, podcast land? It's your boy C. Diddy, one half of the realest podcast ever. Are you tired of the same boring, unoriginal podcast that lack depth, originality, and substance? Well, I got a solution for you. Join us here every Monday and Thursday on Revolt Podcast Network for the realest podcast ever, where we bring you the best in entertainment news, fashion, sports, music reviews, politics, and street culture, with a mixture of the most powerful guests that you're going to find anywhere on the internet. Join us every Monday and Thursday for the realest podcast ever.
Somebody taking care of their kids, taking care of their family, and handling their business and being responsible, but can stand up when you need to. That's a real man.
Yeah, that's gangster.
You know, and this man ain't complaining about whatever or worrying about what somebody else got. I mean, that's being a man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think a lot of people don't get a chance to do that because they so busy worrying about what this one got, that one got, why I don't have this. Go get it.
Yeah.
You know?
Nobody's stopping you.
Nobody's stopping you but you.
Yeah.
Think about it. And all the time that you sit back and try to be something you're not, because when you try to be the toughest guy in the world, where you going to end up at? Dead or in prison?
Man, listen, I always tell youngsters, right, when I go talk to kids and young guys, I always tell them, look, man, the penitentiary full of tough niggas.
Yeah.
But the, you know what I'm saying, and the cemetery full of tough niggas.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but the penitentiary is full of niggas that had to show them tough niggas what time it was.
Yeah.
So it's a lose-lose
man,
situation.
Man, we know a lot. I'm talking about some of the most dangerous people you ever want to meet already dead.
Yep.
And you like, how did they get killed?
Yeah.
Because the people knew they was dangerous.
Yep.
They ain't going to give them a chance.
They know how to come.
They going to buy it. Yeah. They like.
They know how to come.
And it's like, what about just having some compassion for somebody else's life.
Right.
You'll live longer.
Right.
And I think that's what the streets taught me, being able to keep your word and live on your word. And in order to get respect, you got to give respect.
Absolutely.
And so not being afraid to give the people that came before you respect. So I always, from the Lil J's to Tony Draper's to the Uncle Luke, those guys came before me. So it's not about me. And so when our people, you know, give me the title, the King of the South, the Ice Cream Man, you know, I have to give those guys that respect that came before me. And after them, then I came.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to open up the doors a little more, because everybody might. So even in life, I might have a big house, but somebody else got a house 10 or 20 times the size of mine. Do that make me want their house? No.
Right. thankful for what you have.
I'm thankful for what I have and appreciate it. Yeah. Know that I got something nice, and this is in my means, and I should be thankful for that.
Yeah.
But some people get caught up into, oh, man, let me tell you something. I went visit one of my friends the other day. He got the biggest house in the world. It's 105,000 square foot.
God damn. And it's an amusement park.
It's bigger than an amusement park.
Damn.
But guess what? I don't want his house, but I'm happy I could celebrate him. Yeah. His house costs $550 million. I'm just happy to know that I know somebody like that.
Yeah.
That I can go knock on his door and say, look, man, let me get $100 million. And,
need some pancakes?
Hey, it's levels to the shit. Cause I go to his shit and feel the same way. You know what I mean?
You see what I'm saying? But think about it. But we all excited for our friends and the people around us. Yeah. We happy for them. We not like, oh, I want that house. No. You don't know what goes with that.
Yeah.
You don't know the bills. If somebody's house costs $550 million, then what type of monthly bills they got to pay to keep it going?
Real talk.
So that's what I'm saying is like, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But look at the hustle that this man did to put himself in that position to be able to maintain a lifestyle like
that. Right.
You're supposed to celebrate people, though, because, again, we've been rocking for 20 years. He ain't never heard, you know what I mean? We ain't never talked to each other like that. Why you got an elevator in the house, Court?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
We just get after the bag.
Yeah. And I think that's what life is about, because so you got to imagine with me, I don't have to ride around in a nice car every day.
Mm-hmm.
I could ride around in my truck and still be cool. I don't have to fly on a private jet.
Right.
I could go on a regular plane. Now, if I need to go on a private jet, I could go on one.
Yeah, we have.
And that's what I'm saying. So you got to be happy in your own skin.
Yep.
You got to be happy with yourself.
Exactly.
You know, because you're never going to be happy trying to beat somebody else or what they have. You envy it or you're jealous of it. And I think that's what life is about for people that can't see the big picture.
Right.
You'll never get out of the ruckus that you in because you're too busy putting time in, worried about somebody else. So when I go to this guy's house that's that big, I go, man, this is beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't wait to get back home because this is a lot of bills. You know, so I know what my bills is. That's what I'm looking at. I know what my bills cost. So I can imagine what this guy.
That's crazy to hear you say that.
Yeah.
I say the same shit about you.
Yeah.
You know, and I say the same shit about
him. So, but that's how life goes. But guess what? Think about it.
Yeah.
You appreciative for what you have.
Yeah.
That's how you could be happy.
Yeah.
Now, if you want, because think about it. So you know one thing, whatever your bills is, imagine what my bills is.
And
I can imagine what this guy's bills is. I'm like, I don't want them problems. Hey, not right now.
I told him that. I'd be like, this shit nice, bro. Whew, you to me. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? That's funny that you say that, bro, because I always say, man, but at the end of the day, real is from the heart, not from the pocket.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, when you real, regardless of whatever money that you have or don't have.
Yeah. So let me tell you something about being real. You have to know where you are in life to be able to survive or get better. You can't fool yourself.
Right.
And some people think real is about showing the world how tough you is. No.
Nah.
Like, being real is just being able to balance yourself, put yourself in a better position, and even prepare. So you know if you're not in a good position in life, what you need to do to get better.
Yeah.
So that means you got to work 10 times. It's almost like being an athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody want to be LeBron James, but they don't want to put the work in that LeBron James.
Yeah.
But then a Steph Curry. Steph Curry shoot 1,500 shots a day.
Mm-hmm.
Show me what athlete in the NBA really putting up 1,500 shots.
Right.
But they want to be, I want to be a sharpshooter.
Yeah.
But this is what it takes to be a sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love about my kids. I'm like, you know what? You don't have to be number one right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if you keep putting this type of work in, because think about it. Steph Curry went to Davidson.
Right.
That was a mid-major college.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up being one of the top players in the NBA, Damon Little.
Mm-hmm.
He went to another mid-major college, and he's one of the top players.
Mm-hmm.
John Morant, nobody even thought he was going to be ranked or play, never was.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, he's one of the top players in the league because of the work that these guys put in. That same thing as being an entrepreneur or business.
Absolutely.
Being an entrepreneur is not for everybody.
Right.
Being a boss is not for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And think about it. If you get to that level, you're going to need good people to work with you and to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people don't understand. Everybody want to be the boss. because they hear these songs and say, I'm the boss.
They don't have a reference point or
whatever. You understand the sacrifices this man has made?
Yeah.
Just like we talk about this guy with a 105,000 square foot house. You imagine the sacrifices he have to make to keep all this going.
Mm-hmm.
Even putting this together, the workers and the team to build something like that.
Crazy.
Yeah. And so if you're going to be the boss, you can't talk it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people tell me they better than me or they want, I'm saying that's fine, but what are you doing?
Right.
Because I ain't talking.
Right.
I got product.
A lot of people don't see, you know what I'm saying? Because they're on the outside looking in. Yeah. You know what I mean? So a lot of times, you know, they always say, damn, that's crazy, man. P your homeboy. Woo, woo, woo. Man, he got this. I'm like, dude, this dude. But he wake up at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, he like the energizer button.
Yeah.
He move. Yeah. Like, this dude move. Yeah. He work. You know, because I know the sacrifices and the time and the effort and the, you know, the discipline.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
To do it even when it's hard.
Oh, yeah. Even when you don't make nothing for a couple years. People don't realize Rap Snacks, this took 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, me and James been working at this for a while. This when nobody else believed.
Mm-hmm.
So this didn't happen overnight. Some people left. Some people didn't want to be on the bag. Now everybody want to be on the bag. We don't have enough flavors to put all the stars. Like even right now, you know, a lot of the entertainers, because, you know, we put Biggie on the bag. Mm-hmm. Everybody expect now Nipsey and Pac. And, you know, these are my dudes.
Mm-hmm.
But they estates. It's hard to deal with. You got to go and try to deal with their estates. With Biggie, his mom was able to deal with her, and then we gave money back to his foundation.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of these other guys, it's hard. Everybody want people on the bag, but like you're dealing with a estate now when you're not here.
Right.
So you imagine if Nip was around, man, Big Dog put me on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it'd be nothing. But right now, when we lose people, it's hard to put other people on the bag because of their estates controlling this. And so those are some of the things we got to talk about now as successful people, as building family trust and building that, knowing, okay, where am I going to put my money into? Who am I going to leave my money to? Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about building generational wealth, then you got to have plan in the estates.
Yeah.
Which we don't even think about that.
Right, right.
And so...
The way things move is like Hasbro owns Death Row now.
Yes.
That's crazy.
See that?
A toy company.
Toy company owned Death Row. Now, you would never even imagine that Hasbro.
How did the estate lose that? I think
he didn't even show up. It was by default. Like, he just didn't care. He just, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess after you get been beat down for so long, but that's why I say the education part is so important. So anybody could have money.
Yeah.
But the education and knowledge is the way you build wealth.
Yeah.
And so that's what we have to do now, because we can all obtain some type of wealth with our talent.
Yeah.
But now we have to start educating ourselves before we get that money.
Yeah.
And that's what they know. They like, they sitting back waiting like, he won't have that so long. We'll take that because he's uneducated.
Real
think
talk.
About it.
I always say, man, rich obtains, but wealth sustains.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we got to stop playing
checkers
and start playing chess.
Yeah.
Because when you're playing chess, you're thinking your next move.
Yeah.
Checkers, you just jumping.
Yeah.
And that's what we just want to get to the money, want to get to the bag. If you listen to every rapper right now, they want to get to the bag.
Yeah.
So, okay, once you get to the bag, then what?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot you're going to have to deal with.
Right, right.
Because once you get to a certain level financially, then the system is watching you.
Yeah.
And so if you're not prepared with the right team of accountants and business people, then, you know, and I tell you all the time, you know, even financial advisors, you got to watch them.
Hell yeah.
Because they know you don't know nothing about
this.
They
run circles around.
That's the ones who are going to steal it from you.
Yeah.
That's who's going to get the bag. You did all that to get the bag, and all of a sudden that financial advisor really got the bag.
Yeah. He got your bag.
He got your bag. So, you know, I mean, education is it's so important.
Let me ask you this, bro. So, you know, as we were talking about Generation Z and the millennials, like, what, you know, we try to talk to the youngsters, but when you look at what's going on with, like, NBA YoungBoy, you know what I'm saying? And why do you think that they are so misguided and they won't listen?
Well, because when I talk about Generation Z, you talk about these are the guys that are controlling the bag for their family.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have parents and grandparents and uncles, and not saying his family is the part of that, but I'm just telling you that is normally how it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to depend on your kids now. Right. That's the worst position to be in. That's why I work so hard. Like, I do not want to depend on my kids. I don't care how much money they make, how big they get. I do not want to depend
on
them.
That's an interesting dichotomy. I never thought about that. Because what they going
to
tell their kids?
Because think about it. You need a parent to tell you what to do, especially at that age, 18, 19, 20. You think you grown, but you really not.
Nah.
And so your parents need to be. But if you making the money, I don't watch you. You talking about NBA, young boy, but I'm talking about real NBA players that just switched it up once they got the money. The parents got to depend on them.
Wow.
They no longer controlling the households.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch some NBA guys that, man, just turn once they got their bread.
Wow.
And once they got their bread, they become the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Because now the parents depending on what they give them.
Mm-hmm.
I never want to be in that position.
That's crazy.
You know, I never want to be in that position. That's why I hustle and come up with other avenues. And so talk about diversifying your portfolio.
Yeah.
Because business is like the rain, the snow. You never know when you're going to get a sunny day or it's going to be a cold day.
Yeah.
So you got to be prepared for the ups and downs.
Right.
Absolutely. Especially if you're an entrepreneur.
Absolutely.
So imagine if you're just a parent and you invested everything in your kid.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at it, even if you look at, you know, God bless the dead, Kobe Bryant, I mean, his parents, when you go back and look at it, what they was going through.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because of, you know, and don't get me wrong, Jelly Bean, I played when he was a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get to a level of life to where you don't have the control financially, then you become the kid.
Yeah. Right.
Which is
right.
It's sad, but in our culture, that's what normally happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, and now that's why I'm saying we got to educate the parents.
Yeah.
It's almost like, say, for instance, if you had pets in your house,
mm-hmm.
that pet got to know that you the boss. That's right. The only way it's going.
Yeah, for sure.
Do whatever you tell it to do.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever that pet realize that you're not the boss, he going to go bite somebody or do something. Yeah. You're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right? Imagine a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all have, like, none of us is exempt from pain with our kids and our family. Because you could raise the kid right all the time, and that kid will run out and go turn and do something crazy.
You know, me and you didn't have plenty of conversations.
Yeah, and that's life.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but imagine if that kid had the mindset. So I think first we got to teach these kids who God is at a young age.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know how they're going to go. I mean, the devil is the father of lies. So the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy.
Absolutely.
So if we could take these kids at an early stage and start giving them that knowledge of who God is and then feed them biblically and then prepare them that this is not about money.
Right.
Like family over everything. Like we are doing this together. Let's grow in this success together as a family. And I think that's where the disconnect comes, because now the kid around you all that time, but now the kid just want to get away.
Right.
Other cultures, kids do not want to get away. Mm-hmm. They want to help build and add value to the family.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we have to teach these kids at a young age.
Yeah.
And so instead of letting them just play the video games and all this stuff all day, like you're going to have to, I mean, us, all of us, like, because we, you know, we all have some good kids and some bad kids.
Yeah.
Especially if you got a number of
them. Yeah, right.
You know,
right.
So nah, man, it's a blessing that I'm able to experience some light with my kids.
Yeah.
But everybody going through it, man. So like even the parents could have did everything they could do. So you can't blame it just on the parents.
Nah, because I always say, man, our kids don't belong to us like that. Like, we just vessels by which way they come into the world.
Yeah.
But see, they grow up and become their own people, their own ideas.
Yeah, after 12, they say in the Bible, you got nothing to do with them. They on their own.
Yeah.
So they're going to be accountable for their own sins after 12.
Charlie Manson had parents.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Dahmer had parents.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I just think we need to educate our kids at a younger age.
Yeah.
And show them who God is. And I think that then it's out of our hands, whatever happens.
Right.
Whatever direction they steer, I mean, your life either going to be a tragedy or testimony.
Testimony, yeah.
And hopefully that we have more testimony than tragedies.
What do you think? So when you talked about diversification, what do you think about this whole hype with the cryptocurrency? What do you feel about that?
I think if you don't know it, then don't put a lot of money into it. Because like I said, when I do business, I do it behind passion and stuff I love. When you're trying to flip something, then, you know, you better put a small amount in. It's almost like going to the casino.
Yeah.
I don't know about this game I'm playing, so I might put a little money on. I might win. Mm. So if I could get my money back and put my money in my pocket, I'm going to give y'all some free game. So it's gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Cryptocurrency to me is gambling. Mm. So if you could get, and you don't know it, put a little money into it, mm-hmm. and you make some money, then you take your money out that you made,
mm-hmm.
that you first put up, mm-hmm. and now you only playing with money like that...
House money.
House money. See, yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what...
That in Vegas every time.
Stock market, Vegas, mm-hmm. that's the key to success.
Yeah.
Because the system is set for you to lose. So especially if you didn't get in it in the beginning.
Right, right.
So everybody now, everybody's, oh, cryptocurrency, I want to be a part of it. But guess what? It's been around so long now, you're not at the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I see what scares me. I seen a Asian guy put up $100 million when it first started. He lost all his money. He jumped in front of a train.
Damn.
So he lost everything he had.
Damn. But he would probably be up now, though, if he had
a... Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but how could he hold on? Because it was all... He lost it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
So, and that's what I'm saying, jumping in with everything that you have. I mean, that was...
It's just not intelligent.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Well, I mean, I guess the guy couldn't go home and tell his family that he lost it all.
Wow.
And you got to start over. But I don't mind starting over because...
You ain't a real hustler till you lost it.
Yeah, and get it back. If you look at it, I keep telling you, all the successful people them fell off the horse.
All of them. Yep.
And got back on. Now, you go look at it, every last one of them that really created wealth from the bottom and went through the struggles and the pains, they done got something, got to one level. So if you're a thousandaire, you're trying to get to a millionaire, you done lost to get there.
Yeah.
Now you like, I ain't doing this no more. Or you done lost millions. Now you got to billions because of what you lost. That's why I said it's not a loss, it's a lesson.
Yeah.
So now you educating yourself to get to the next level. And
right.
I think a lot of us don't want to go through that in life. Well, I need to educate myself. No, I know it all.
Yeah.
Stop being a know-it-all.
Right, right.
And even tell yourself no sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You your worst enemy.
Yeah.
So keep being a yes man to yourself, putting yes people around you, you're going to lose.
Right, right. I always say the smartest person in the room is a person that knows that they're not the smartest person in the room.
Yes, that's what my life has been about. People don't realize knowing what I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And go and find the people that do know.
Right.
And we
I like that. We
team up to create something massive.
Mm-hmm. So, you ain't never said that to me. You saved that for the podcast. We talk a lot. You ain't never said that to me.
Well, you got it now.
That was a good one.
You got it now.
All right, so you keep good people around you.
Yes.
And now Court Dog is gone. I met Court Dog too, but he gone. Now there's Big Court.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've been around at his house doing the interview with you or the Chewy Show or the being in Universal City doing the thing.
Yeah.
But what is Court's function now with Pete? Like, is he just the new action star bully in the movie? Like, I've been asking him. I've been asking him what the new...
Yeah, nah.
Because I see him everywhere.
Nah, to be honest with you, it's about growing. Like, Court has really grew as far as knowing what he want out of life. And I think that all of us have big plans and dreams and goals. I've never been a dream killer. Man, go chase it. Go get what you got to do. I mean, look what he's doing now. He's thinking outside the box. And he's able to control this because this is what he loved to do. I told Court a long time ago, I'm like, bro, like, you intelligent. You're not just no street dude. Like, you really can communicate and talk to people, and you have a heart. You compassionate. Like, you'll test some stuff up, but at the same time, you a person with compassion about other lives. So you will connect. He can connect with the Oprah Winfrey's to whoever, you know, just by somebody. So you got to imagine with Courtney right now, he's a fish out the water right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody expect him to be doing this.
Right.
And that's how you win. Like, right. when you're doing something unique and it's different.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think his destination, he haven't made it yet. So he's on that journey. It's like me. When I first got into the music business, I was a basketball player.
Mm.
I didn't know I was going to be in the music business.
Right.
sort of him right now, he probably didn't know he was going to be doing
this.
I was all like, I'm about to be the biggest basketball star in the world. I'm going. Next thing you know, I got hurt. I'm like, what am I going to do?
Yeah. It's funny where the game take you like.
Yeah. No, but you got to allow it to take you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they call it destination. So when you get in your car, you know, when you turn that map on, you ask you where you want to go. Sometimes you might not go where you think you going at because the destination might change. It might be a wreck on the road or whatever. Then you going way somewhere else and you see something else. You're like, oh, man, I could do that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what our life has been about. It's like growing, being there for each other, but also being able to invest in yourself. I feel like No Limit is a university.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with Snoop. Snoop had his destination. He came and he was with us, but then he also found another lane and he kept running in.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the same thing about Court. Like he gonna be all right no matter what.
Yeah. You know? Appreciate that, bro. Yeah. I appreciate that.
But if No Limit's a university, I've just been at the junior college.
Court, to be honest with you, like a lot of people see you and they expect you to change their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't even understand what you have to go through to do with you. Same thing with me. Like you can't change everybody's life.
Right.
You know, you're not God. I think that's what God showed us. We've been through life like a seesaw, mm-hmm. up and down, because God, like, oh, you think you're God? You're going to help all these people?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's put you through something.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Let's put you through something.
They say God has a sense of humor.
He do.
Yeah.
It's a sick one sometimes. Yeah.
No, real talk. It's funny because I always have said that about you because I, you know, people, I always say P is just a man. He's not God.
Yeah.
You know, they expect you to wave your hand and everything is just fixed and everything, all things happen.
Man, I'll be honest with you. I don't want it easy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you get it easy, you never going to hold on to it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get it the right way, you can hold on to it forever.
Right.
So that's the path I'm on. And I'm not in a rush.
Yeah.
Even with this product, you know, if it take me 5 or 10 years to take this to the level it need to go, then that's the plan.
Let's talk about the product real quick. I mean, with the, you got pancake mix, you got, we know the noodles.
Yeah.
All that. What made you, like with the fish fry and all of that, like what made you say, you know what, I'm going to do ice cream? Well, it makes sense for ice cream.
Okay.
But with the fish fry and the pancake and all that.
Well, you know, my grandmother been cooking for the family her whole life. And when she passed, I'm like, you know what? I got to go back and grab some of Big Mama recipes and let this live on forever. So it's not about me. Like I said, you have a passion and a love for something. So we from New Orleans, from Louisiana. People love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like my grandmother always had those recipes that brought people together. Mm-hmm. And not only just in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
People come to my grandmother's house just for that love that she made sure you gonna eat. She's like, you know what? I might not have no money, but I got food. You come over here, we're going to fix you a nice plate.
Mm-hmm.
And my product is about the more we make, the more we give. So we all about helping the next generation for education and also the elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So those things are dear to my heart, and I just constantly just keep coming up with product that I know that I have, like recipes from my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So, though, I mean, if you look at the Uncle P pancakes, when you look at Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben with the rice, that was pure mockeries of our culture.
Right.
And they made billions of dollars off of us. So, you know, when people ask me what P, you know, why you put your face on, I'm saying because I am a real person.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I created this brand. Why not? If we spent billions of dollars with Aunt Jemima, somebody that.
Exactly. Yeah.
That didn't own that brand.
Right.
So, why not want to see.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody that look like us and is a real person and you know who that person is and that person is giving back to the community, why not represent that?
Mm-hmm. How instrumental and inspirational was the whole Reginald Lewis thing? How big of a part did that
I mean, play? Reginald Lewis was so important because he created wealth in the 1960s and 70s and he did it through the grocery stores and his model was why should white guys have all the fun?
Mm-hmm.
And what he was saying was to get out of that negativity, the stereotype of being poor and building wealth.
Mm-hmm.
And he did it. Mm-hmm. He did it in a grocery store business. And this guy was educated.
Mm-hmm.
He opened the doors for so many other people. Right now, He left a legacy here to where it's all about educating the next generation. And that's what's so influential to me, knowing that this guy could do this in the 60s and 70s. I need to be on my game. We need to be keeping this train going. Mm-hmm. And so that's what this about for me is keeping that legacy going and being Muhammad Ali.
Yeah.
In the product and food business.
Can we expect to see a chain of Master P grocery stores?
Well, you know what? I'm really not. It's hard to do the grocery stores mm-hmm. right now. I mean, just to be able to diversify and get inside the stores and put product on these shelves mm-hmm. and to help other business, small business owners that create product, get their product put on shelves. I mean, that's the most important thing for me because it's not just about me.
Right.
What
you have with the Master P Reviews.
Yes, with the Master P Reviews, we always shining light on small business products mm-hmm. because we want to build economic empowerment. Mm-hmm. And the way we do that is put other minorities on. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's the way we get rid of the poverty and crime. We can't just stand in the streets and protest. We need to put money back into our communities and our cultures. And the only way we're going to do that is by putting other small business on, mm-hmm. other entrepreneurs on.
Right.
Yeah.
So how excited are you about your son going to TSU?
Yeah, you know, I'm excited. Tennessee State is a game changer.
Yeah.
We talk about HBCUs, and now – When you talk about HBCUs, he's at the forefront. You're going to know Hersey Miller, a superstar athlete that turned down a bunch of major colleges like USC, UCLA, Vanderbilt, LSU to go to Tennessee State University, which they got an opportunity to be just as good as any big mm-hmm. program in the country. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, Oprah Winfrey went to Tennessee State University.
Yeah.
You got a lot of great athletes went there. Anthony Mason, I played with him. Mm-hmm. He went there.
He was a beast.
Oh, yeah, he was a beast. And that's what I'm saying. You know.
R.I.P. Anthony Mason.
Yes, R.I.P. The new football coach.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if y'all heard about that. Eddie George is the new football coach at Tennessee State University.
Yeah.
So now, man, it's building a familyhood, a brotherhood.
And I just seen a big deal. Hersey got – it was a big deal.
Yeah, yeah. Now, my son – so right now, Hersey got a $2.5 million deal on the table for his name and likeness to be able to play at a HBCU, which is history.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is that rule don't go through until – I think July or August or something like that, they're working on it. So in some states, they already passed it. But hopefully, if they pass that ruling, then he'll be the highest paid college basketball player ever.
Wow. I got a question for you because we talk all the time, but I'm a big sports guy, and I've been watching your sons and everything else.
Yeah.
How do you feel about how the NCAA's been getting away with not paying people?
Oh, I mean, it's crazy because when I played college basketball, we only got $400 a month. And that's what millions. They get till this day. And they make millions off of these athletes. Mm-hmm. And so now with the rule, some colleges are trying to get 75% of the kids' money.
Mm.
And I don't think the system is going to allow that. That makes no sense.
Right.
So
I would argue like during March Madness, that's as big as NBA playoffs.
Oh, it is.
And you
it
got is. Kids basically unpaid.
Yeah.
And like a whole
so imagine all the jerseys they've been selling.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like all sweatshop type stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
I mean, Jordan got a North Carolina jersey that might be one of the most popular jerseys ever sold.
So think about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So that's history though. For Hersey to secure that.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's the first.
He's the first.
Yeah.
I mean, now they talk about him in the books, not just HBCUs, but the NCAA. Right now they meeting, talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's unheard. But the thing about it, a lot of athletes won't get a deal that massive. The only one that probably get it is, you know, my kids, LeBron kids, because of the parents, what they've done. So that's just not on Hersey. Mm-hmm. That what these companies want to do is they want to combine with families. They know that we have already been paid the dues. Mm-hmm. And so we have already been successful. And now they want to link and get in early with these kids before they blow up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but that comes from LeBron doing what he's done.
Okay.
and me doing what I've done, mm-hmm. you know, in my business. Mm-hmm. And I think, but every kid is not going to be offered a massive deal like that.
Right, right, right.
So, like, that's the thing that, the NCAA is looking at now, because they're not.
Mm-hmm. Got you.
Yeah.
So, I mean, fast forward to now, I mean, 2021, you know yeah. what I mean? So we know you have the product. Yeah. Do you have any plans to get back into entertainment, any more movies, any more?
Yeah, my thing is right now I'm going to focus on a product, and, you know, entertainment is my life. So I'm working on my movie, King of the South Ice Cream Man. And then I'm always, you know, dibbling and dabbling into the movie side of this. But as far as any artist right now, if I do something, it's going to be with some younger kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to deal with just the younger kids.
Yeah, the kid, yeah.
Yeah, the younger kids.
Yeah, I thank you for saying that. When they can't get you, they come to me. Yeah. I'm tired of talking to them, telling them.
Yeah.
You
know what I mean? Now, I got love for everybody, man. But yeah. my thing is the next generation.
Yeah.
And I really want to deal with the younger mm-hmm. kids.
Mm-hmm. You know? Who your favorite right now? Who would be your top five right now that you digging?
What, artists?
Artists.
It got to be Lil Baby,
mm-hmm.
Da Baby,
mm-hmm.
Moneybagg Yo, NBA Youngboy.
Yeah.
And Dirk.
Dirk, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a solid list.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, I just in Polo G.
Yeah,
Polo I can't forget too. Polo G.
Yeah,
That's probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, what you think about Murray?
Yeah, I like all of them, but I just something about this list I just gave you. These guys just stick out to me.
Yeah,
as far as what I like.
Yeah, yeah. That's a solid list.
Yeah,
solid list.
Yeah.
Well, shit, man. On this show, bro, I bring everybody on here, man.
Yeah.
I wanted to create this platform to normalize giving people their flowers while they're here. You know what I'm saying? Because oftentimes, man, too many times you see with DMX and Nipsey, like we talked about previous, everybody want to celebrate everybody once they gone. You know what I'm saying?
You can't do nothing for nobody when they gone.
Nah. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
So I want to give you your flowers while you're here. I mean, we friends. We've been friends a long time. But, you know, I just want to tell you, I appreciate you, you know. You've taken me under your wing like family, like a little brother. You know, I'm only child, so you and Big Wise has always been the brothers that we had. You know, but we appreciate you, you know what I'm saying? The hip-hop community, the culture appreciates you, you know what I'm saying? Keep being great, bro. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yes,
you know
sir.
And keep being a beacon of light for all of us watching and studying.
Nah, you know, man, it's a blessing, to be honest with you. Like I said, when you work hard and you do the right thing, God will continue blessing you.
Real talk.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So that's Master P on the Holding Court Podcast, man. Salute.
Yes, sir.
Salute.
Legend.
Yeah.
There. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again, because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.